talented City of Schenectady reporter Ted Remsnyder is taking on new responsibilities within the Daily Gazette family of newspapers. He is the second veteran reporter to join the Gazette News Group's Community Journalism Fund, now as a political reporter. He joins Chad Arnold, who covers healthcare throughout the Capital Region and was one of the first appointments under the not-for-profit's arm of the Daily Gazette. I sat down with Ted in between current City of Schenectady beat stories this week to talk about his future role and experience in politics along with what lies ahead. Listeners, here is friend and reporter Ted Remsnyder.
All right. Now we got your title down. Just before we went on the podcast, we had to firm up Ted's title. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to kind of like go into 2026, and I was going to bring in everybody because we have a slew of new people, but we're interjecting you. We're breaking up the flow.
Injecting one old person into the new people.
We're inserting an old guy into the new kids. So you can say like me, you're the new old kid. But I've made the running gag that nothing stays the same at the Gazette for 90 days. So you've had your beat as the Schenectady City reporter for how many years?
I started here in September 2022. I started out covering Fulton County for a couple months, maybe like 90 days, 2 months. And then they moved me to the Schenectady City reporter / Niskayuna. And I've had that since at the end of 2022. So it's been over 3 years now, but now I'll be moving on to something new.
And so, yeah, so this is the second arm of the Gazette News Group Community Journalism Fund arm. Obviously, our good friend Chad Arnold has really taken things by storm covering healthcare, which is the first arm that the Journalism Fund board and our publisher, John DeAugustine, felt was necessary. That was like right off the rip. That was an automatic. And then there were back and forth on a couple different options, and it came down to a political reporter. And how are you with that? I mean, right now, this week, in this time period, it seems like Schenectady City is all politics. But what's going to change? What do you think? How is it explained to you? What do you want it to be?
Well, I think it's important, particularly going into an election year, which we're now in, that we've got a governor's race with the incumbent Kathy Hochul, obviously, but we also have a local candidate in the race in Antonio Delgado, Schenectady native. Stefanik is no longer in the race, which is unfortunate for us, probably for local coverage. But we need someone to have like a full overview of, you know, what's happening politically, you know, not only in Schenectady, but all our coverage areas in the Capital Region statewide. So it's going to be a new role that's going to be covering politics, you know, locally and statewide, but also, you know, putting the local flavor and the local ramifications on everything. So we haven't had a Capital reporter in a little while, and that's not exactly what this is going to be, but it's going to be something that's dedicated to covering politics throughout our coverage area. And kind of like really honing in on that with just one dedicated person, which I think will be really beneficial this year, but always going forward. And every year politics is important, and particularly, and I deal with it a lot in Schenectady, but also, you know, do court, crime, and a lot of other stuff that kind of takes the focus away. But this is just going to be really focusing in on that, which I'm really excited about.
You're not carrying the entire load. I think you're going to have a little bit more sway and a little bit more, say, guidance as far as kind of angles and features and stuff like that, because politics is the gift that keeps on giving. Every single day we have something. So one person can't do it all. So where do you see it for you? Because you've still got our beat reporters, Schenectady County, Saratoga County, Fulton County, Montgomery County, things like that. You've got that day in and day out thing. So are you kind of like doing that, you know, 15th story look of, is it kind of like, okay, this happened. And then are you there kind of in that follow up, like what's the ramification for the voter?
Yeah, I think that's one of the ideas. Also, with maybe some larger picture features on stuff like, you know, campaign finance, voter registration. There's a lot of bigger picture things that the beat reporters don't get to have time to really focus on when you've got a million other things that are happening. You could start a story and then there's a fire, there's an issue with the school district, and then like that derails you and derails your day, and that happens almost every day with something. So it's going to be nice to be able to do some bigger picture things. Like, for instance, there's the even year election law, which is taking place, which is, you know, coming into a place in New York where there's going to be shortened terms. We're seeing it in Niskayuna now with a supervisor debate that we were part of last year between Aaron Cassidy Dorion and John Ricker, which would usually be a 2-year term, which is now just going to be one. It's like, so I think there's a lot of confusion about that, even amongst, you know, even in the newsroom, we're like saying, is this person running? Is this person running this year? It's like there's a lot of uncertainties. That'll be something that we can, you know, really nail down and figure out. We have time to actually, you know, focus on and what the ramifications of that. And I think there are some politicians in our office that don't even know if they're running this year or not because it's just kind of a mess right now. So bigger stories like that will, you know, definitely have more time. And I think we'll be able to get out on the campaign trail a little more to cover both Hochul and Delgado than we would have otherwise been able to. And also there's the big race in New York 21, which we've been covering with candidate profiles, but that's also going to be a big one this year to replace Stefanik.
For, again, our publisher, John DeAugustine, who works with the Community Journalism Fund Board, you know, can speak to this also, but from your point of view as, you know, the boots on the ground reporter, was this the best time to launch this? Was this the worst time to launch this because of the chaos that is coming forward?
I think it is closer to the best time. You know, there's always news and politics, but you want it to be kind of chaos. You want to kind of make sense of the chaos. It just, and there's so much to cover. It's like it's just endless amounts of stuff you can cover with politics in New York, not just in Schenectady, but beyond all of our coverage area, really.
You've already got your chops for debates, so I mean you're locked into the panel for how many, 3, 5? I mean, every time I turn around, I think there's going to be another debate. You know, obviously, you know, Phil Barrett announcing that he wasn't going to run again and was on the podcast shortly after that with us as an exclusive with the Daily Gazette. You know, I think that added a wrinkle because, you know, we're guaranteed to have a new supervisor in Clifton Park. And I think we're going to obviously see the two parties put minimum of one candidate. We may have a primary for, you know, the supervisor race. Who knows what can happen? But that kind of wasn't on our radar. So I think we're like hopefully and it takes a village and a miracle to pull off a debate between – and this is one thing I think some of the readers and listeners may not understand is – you got to get a lot of people on the same page.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as finding a space.
And sometimes both candidates don't even want to debate, obviously, particularly if someone's, you know, a runaway favorite, you know, in the polls or, you know, an incumbent that thinks, you know, they're safe. So they don't even want to risk a debate. But, yeah, I mean, we've soldiered through that debate without Miles Reed, our intrepid debate leader usually. But I think we did a good job of it in Niskayuna. So I think we can handle this year too. We're looking forward to, no matter how many we have, that'll be a big part of our political coverage this year. Hopefully we can have more than, yeah, like you're saying, we could have a handful at least.
I think that's the plan because of our coverage area and things like that. I am already working on my lightning round questions. keep those entertaining as possible. They're not going to go away. My apologies to emailer about that. But I think overall it was well received, and I think – you know, our format of the newsroom and then, you know, like our formula heading in, I think worked well. And I think, you know, again, it's Niskayuna, is it a hometown crowd? You know, yeah, it was a home playoff game for us, but I think it was, I mean, we got some criticism, but overall it was generally well received. So I think we've got it down. And again, that is because of Miles doing this for decades and guiding us through it. I think that's going to be great. And yeah, we do have to wait to see these candidates and if they're willing. Are you, I mean, how crazy does it get for you now? I mean, do you now start your day at 1 o'clock because you're going to have all these you know, if they're not with us a debate, someone else will host a debate, a TV station, another newspaper, League of Women Voters do their invites, things like that. I mean, your life's going to start at 7, you know, the old sports adage was your life started at 4. Now your life's like really starting like at 7.
Yeah. I mean, the one good thing for me is that just for scheduling purposes, I won't be covering so many city council and town board and school board meetings that I usually do, which can be a real drag after a while, something that can kind of wear on you after a while, particularly if they're – well, Schenectady recently has had very short meetings because it's in chaos. But, you know, you go to a two-hour meeting on Monday night followed by another one on Tuesday, Wednesday, and that can be kind of a drag. But so unless there's something happening politically in those, you know, bigger picture in those, you know, Schenectady there is right now, but I wouldn't be going to as many local town board, school board meetings, stuff like – probably not any school board meetings anymore. But, yeah, it'll be a good change of pace, though. I'd rather go to, you know, a campaign event or two now or a debate or a forum than, you know, the kind of the drag of all of the town board meetings, all of, you know, listening, you know, the endless school board meetings and stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
How much chaos or changing of the guard is probably the polite term. I'm going to say chaos. Well, at least Stefanik exiting. I mean, that just snowballed from the 20, you know, into the 21st and beyond, because that created not only the congressional race, but it created the New York State legislature, you know, assembly, you know, with that and everything that goes with it. Did you see that kind of coming? You know, we go back to the goodbye tour when it was anticipated being the, you know, United Nations ambassador, did you kind of look at that and go, I can see this happening, but has it expanded beyond what you thought?
I was surprised because, I mean, obviously we thought she was clearly laying the groundwork for a run as governor. I mean, and she was, you know, sending out every day members of the media getting bombarded from her team with attacks on Kathy Hochul. So, I mean, it was a surprise that she abruptly dropped out of that, even though she wasn't in it technically, abruptly dropped out of the running for governor, and then also dropped out of the, you know, said she was not going to be running again for Congress, which kind of takes her out of the national picture unless there's something we don't know about that could be coming, another cabinet post or something. So, yeah, I was surprised that she would, you know, voluntarily drop out, you know, drop out before the race even began, really. But, yeah, it's had a real ripple effect that hopefully we're going to be covering a lot in this next 7-8 months.
This is a conversation that we've had in the newsroom, the old guys, myself and Todd McAdam, talking. And then also when I talked to Phil Barrett, you know, about the political landscape, you know, like, so my view goes back a little bit longer than yours as far as politics goes. And what we've seen in the media, and I've always been the outside as a sports writer and things like that. But you look at the last couple news cycles. Is this the new norm now where even locally we saw it? I mean, one error in judgment. We'll call it error in judgment. You know, that's what we'll just call it. If a candidate makes a mistake or makes an error, the opposition without fail in almost every case, in a sense, blows it up. You make a mistake. You know, it's publicized, but then it becomes fodder for the opposition. That's just an ongoing thing we've seen locally. Then obviously the national level, it's been everything. How hard is that going to be to manage? Is that a minefield, or are you able to just be above the fray? And, you know, we may touch on it, we may not. What do you think?
Well, I think it could be part of an overall trend. You know, it could be, you know, you said national. It could be things are more combative politically now with Trump in the last decade or so on both sides. And it's really raised the temperature. And it trickles down to local. I mean, even people in, you know, Schenectady and Niskayuna talking about, you know, I think the battle lines are more drawn now between Republicans and Democrats than they probably would have been, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to avoid some of the political tit for tat every day that's happening and focus more, you know, on the big picture stuff. But I think we're going to have to cover, you know, a lot of the ins and outs of the race, and, you know, we'll see how it goes with the governor's race and the New York 21 could be, depending on, you know, who comes through. There's going to be so many candidates. It's going to be, you know, people you know, going at each other for the next several months until the primary. So that's going to be really interesting. I don't think we're going to be able to avoid a lot of the back and forth there.
Is the crazier time, the harder time, is it as we head into the primaries because it's kind of like that playoff picture, you know, who's a wild card, who's got a home field advantage and things like that. Is that like going to be the harder part that once we clear out of the primary and then we have typically two candidates, but I don't put anything, I think we see three and four depending on who's got what and what lines are available and things like that. You know, the independent's an easy one to throw out there to have a three candidate race. How that goes? Does it get a little bit clearer once the primary is over?
Yeah, it will hopefully. But yeah, this is kind of the fun part to see who comes through. I mean, it could see who's a serious contender or not. Like in this, when you have a jumble of candidates that are throwing their hat in the ring. It's always interesting to see which ones will be the real deal and which ones will kind of fall by the wayside. So that'll be interesting over the next until we get to June. And then, then it'll be one-on-one or, a couple other people might be vying from the outside, kind of like what happened with the Schenectady City Council too. You had people lost in the primary, the incumbents, and they just kept running on a third-party line. So that's always a possibility, and particularly with, if there's bad blood that develops, in these next few months in these races, in 21 particularly, I can see, Small and Constantino. I don't know if either one would want to drop out, depending on if they lose. We'll see, how it plays out.
Putting on your campaign manager hat. Sure. No party affiliation. That's not. But if you were to manage a campaign for a candidate in any of the races, it's like we ask a coach, and this came up conversation, like what's it take to get to the playoffs? What's it take to get to the championship game? Things like that. And I was at the TV and I was screaming because they talked about some different things, talent, things like that. To me, being in sports and seeing great teams not make it, I was screaming out health. You have to have a healthy roster to get to the end of it. In politics, what does it take to get to the finish line successfully? Is it an early ground game? Is it clear message early? Is it being able to change with the ever-changing landscape of what was just said, on the networks 20 minutes ago? What would you say to a candidate, not running as one, but as a candidate that you were looking to manage, from what you're getting from constituents that you're talking to on both sides of the aisle, all three sides, I guess you can say, what are the voters looking for out of a candidate that would get that candidate to win, do you think?
Hopefully it will be substance of the issues, but it's also relatability, I think, is a big thing. A lot of, a lot of candidates, particularly the higher up you get, it's more managed. It's more campaign managed by, the branding, messaging. People want something that's a little more off the cuff, I think. And I mean, that's one lesson of Trump from the positive of him being elected twice, is that he had more of a down-to-earth way of talking to people, even if people don't agree with him one way or the other. A lot of politicians have such a slick, kind of phony type way of talking that it really hurts them in the end, I think. So like Trump, Bernie Sanders, they both cut through because people, think they're hearing it straight one way, even though they're so different. But yeah, obviously the substance of the issues and the more knowledge you have should be the most important thing. But as far as, that level of it, I think you have to try to be able to relate to people. And as events play out, we never know what breaking news could happen, what tragedies could happen, You want to be able to relate to people personally and, get that across to voters that you're a real person.
Do you think with that statement and that line of thought that you have, do you think that candidates forget how intelligent and how maybe in tune voters may be with that, like you said, that polished speech, that canned thing? Do you think that their team may tell them it's working, but the voters are like,
Yeah, it's like you see it in a movie. Like, how many times have you seen that in like a comedy movie or something where there's the phony politicians talking and then like the speech ends and they like drop their face and, you know, they're cursing out their, you know, underlings or whatever. It's like people know like that, you know, it's a facade a lot of the time. So it's like just be genuine, be real. Like, no matter what your politics are, like Mamdani, like on the other side, I think he was genuine and real, like in the New York mayor's race. That helped him. It's like you can't just be the typical phony politician that's got their talking points and then, you know, they can't say anything beyond that. Like, those are the type of things I think resonate with people beyond even just the kitchen table stuff.
All right. We'll take you off the firing line here and we'll do some of the housekeeping. How'd you get here? How'd you get to the Gazette?
I could go real far back. My dad was a journalist to start out with. He was in the 70s and 80s. He worked for the Kingston Freeman covering sports. And then he went on to the Journal News, which is in Westchester. He was a golf writer there and covered college basketball there for years. And then, to bring it full circle, he actually now in retirement works as a sports writer for the Kingston Freeman again, like 50 years later. But I went to – so he was covering – I grew up in Orange County, New York, which was – I was born in Newburgh, and then I went to Cornwall High School. And my dad was covering a lot of Iona college basketball. So I would go to games there when I was a kid, and then when it was time to go to college, I went to Iona and was an editor at the Ionian student newspaper, eventually transferred to Stony Brook University. But – so, yeah, then from there, so I was always interested in reporting, and I did some sports reporting like him for a while, but then, and some arts and concert reviews, which I still do occasionally for us. But then I ended up working for a family papers, the Mid-Hudson Times, Wallkill Valley Times, went up to Western Mass for a period. There was a Berkshire Record newspaper there. And then coming out of the pandemic, I went. That paper shuttered, unfortunately, during the pandemic. But then I went to work in Hudson at the Register Star and Daily Mail. And then after a year there, then I came here in 2022. And then when the Gazette ended up buying those papers, so I was kind of reunited with Mary Dempsey, who ran that, you know, after I had already left there. So, yeah, this is about the fourth or fifth stop I've had. And, yeah, and I've been here for 4 years, and I've been enjoying it so far.
I got two tough ones for you. What's the first three stories out of the gate when you're released from the confines of Electric City coverage? What's on that wish list? Those think pieces, those TED marks, those the Gazette version of TED Talks that. You want to get out there.
I think the first big thing would be figuring out what is going on with this even year election law, just to clarify it for everybody. Not that I might not be the one to clarify for everyone, but, you know, just kind of dig into that and see who's running when and, you know, what's coming up this year and the next. Like, we don't even know if the Schenectady Mayor McCarthy is running this year or in 2027. It's just kind of up in the air right now. That would be one. Another would be on campaign finance is always interesting, you know, digging into what it's still early in the year, but all these candidates that are running, you know, how much money do they have and where is it coming from is something we don't usually get to dig into too much on a daily basis. And then some, you know, maybe some voter registration overall, like I mentioned before, some overall trends. I mean, this is a Democratic area in Schenectady, Niskayuna. But there's other areas where our coverage area that are, you know, the opposite. So it's like kind of following those trends and, you know, how things are going up and down. Stuff like that that's beyond just, you know, the normal day-to-day tit-for-tat as we were talking about.
The three questions, do you have in your mind three questions that are your baseline that you're looking to ask every candidate or do you mix it up? Because obviously – issues will change at the state level between, you know, just the primary between Governor Hochul and Anthony Delgado. That's a different conversation versus the 21st. But are there like three themes or three kind of like go-tos that you think are important that candidates need to have an opinion on for the record?
Yeah, probably number one would be what is the most important – whatever the most – what do you think is the most important issue to voters this year? Is it affordability? Is it health care? Whatever the thing is, whatever is the main component of whatever is – what is going to decide this election is kind of the main thing. And then two would be what are you going to do about it? And then three, it's basically why are you the right person for the job? Is it different when it's a career politician, or it could be someone – that we're seeing could be coming from the outside, like Constantino. It's like, why are you doing this? Why do you think you're the right person for this position? That's kind of getting at the heart of the matter.
It's already in Webster's, but do you think 2026 is the year that affordability gets like bold black letters in Webster's because it's becoming the buzzword?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that everyone knows about. Like everyone is experiencing every day when you go to the grocery store, you go – I mean gas prices will fluctuate, but it's like everyone knows about it. If inflation with – you can put like your salary into one of those inflation calculators and see that like, yeah, as opposed to 20 years ago, you're not getting the bang for your buck that you used to. So it's something everyone is feeling and everyone understands. So it could become a cliche, but I think – it's what people are talking about.
And this is a great question. I think I just forgot it, but that's okay. This is why, this should be just be unscripted with Stan because that's how every podcast goes. How many races do you think won't be decided that night in November? I mean, how many races do you think that we could see like – January 1, like maybe just getting settled by Christmas, and where would they be? Would they be do you think it may be something local like we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think the governor's race will be once we know who's – if it's, Hochul, I think if she makes it through the primary, I think that will be decided fairly early. You never know what events could play out. But you have to remember that going into 2026 is like an off-year congressional election. I don't know if there'll be a Democratic wave, but it's certainly more favorable to Democrats with an incumbent Republican president. So it's hard to see some of these incumbents like Hochul or Tomko being unseated. You never know. You never know in politics. But I would say – but the ones like 21 I think are a toss-up. And then you have – races like these local city council, like Schenectady City Council, Niskayuna Town Board that we just don't know. We've seen a lot of upheaval, particularly in Schenectady in the last year. So, I mean, that could be another wild one. You got a few people that are going to be coming up this year on that board. So, and it's chaos right now on the Schenectady board. So people might, want to throw a lot of people out.
What's it take to be a political reporter?
You tell me. I don't know.
Well, when we look across the newsroom landscape, we have everything, We have the who's who of an insane asylum in the newsroom in the most positive way. Everybody has their own different personalities in the way they do things. And when it came to, all the political arm, Ted, were you surprised that I think it was like a no-brainer because – the appearance, and being on photo assignments with you and stuff like that, you're so even keel that it's like a candidate could say something totally insane and you'd be like, okay, let me just make sure I spell that right, or let me just make sure I get that right in my quotes, where sometimes, you can be taken back. Sometimes you can be shocked by what some people say and you're like – and you look at somebody else next to you, another reporter who's generally a videographer and go, did they really say that? Just because I'm like – did I miss that? But, what do you think, it takes to be a political reporter like this climate now?
I think hopefully it's to be unbiased. And also, I remember when I covered the Schenectady mayoral race in 23, it was McCarthy running against Matt Nelligan, the Republican challenger. I remember afterwards Miles Reed, our editor, saying that he got compliments from both sides basically after the election of our coverage of the race, which is hard to do because it's hard for both sides to feel that, you represented it well because, if it's not negative enough about the other side, then, they're going to complain about that. Or if it's too positive, they'll complain about that. So the fact that we got, pretty good notices from that, from what turned out to be kind of a nasty race towards the end. I took that as a good sign. So hopefully that's something you want to like take forward, you know, going forward. That, you know, if people, if the candidates and if the campaigns think you're doing, you know, a decent job of covering the other side, you know, digging into them and the other side, then that's hopefully a good sign. That's something I want to carry over.
Is there a message to politicians, elected officials, that Ted Rumsfeld is not going away? After you put your hand on whatever book you put in on January 1, you're still going to be here. The Gazette News Group is still going to be here. The family newspapers are still going to be here. Is there a message to that there's daily accountability? Yeah.
And like, not to brag, but we're the ones that show up. Like when I go to these Schenectady council meetings every Monday night, I'm the only reporter there 99% of the time. I mean, you know, there'll be one, if there's a huge, you know, scandal going on or something, there might be a TV station or two that show up with a camera once in a blue moon. There's no other newspapers, I can guarantee you that, that are showing up. I haven't seen a reporter from another newspaper that will go unnamed at any, you know, Schenectady or Niskayuna meeting in 3 years. So I'll tell you that right now. So that's a guarantee. So we're the ones that show up. We're there every day. And, you know, when I leave this beat, whoever replaces me will be there every day. So it's not something I'm doing, but we're the ones that are there, like, for this local coverage. And hopefully we're going to carry that on, obviously. And, you know, people will be held to account. We're not missing anything.
We're going to get you out of here that our dear friend Ken Schott recorded his 500th podcast, Parting Shots. And we are in the aforementioned Parting Shot podcast studio, even though I think we should change the name. Jake LaHut. I mean, a Schenectady Gazette alum, you know, who's covered, you know, we'll say President Trump because it is a political podcast versus what I normally call him. So there's royalty has come through here. So I'm going to get you out of here on the tough question is, what's next?
Next is that I'm going to be with the Community Journalism Fund covering politics.
But, like, how long do you think, like, any aspirations? I mean, do you want to, you know, I mean, can you get a book out of this beat? You know, can you get an Amazon bestseller?
You never know. I mean, there was talk of a book. It didn't come together, but there was talk of a book proposal with the Samantha Humphreys murder. You remember that, obviously, case that has yet to go to trial yet. There's kind of a proposal that someone sent to me about that kind of fell through. But yeah, there's a lot going on in Schenectady. I don't know if the Schenectady City Council will. I would want to write a. I've already written enough words about, you know, what's going on there that I want to write a whole book about it. But you never know. You never know what could happen above and beyond.
All right. So it's going to be Ted Rumsfeld, the political reporter for the Community Journalism Fund. One of the bright spots out of it is that it is always free on the Daily Gazette website. Because that is part of all our coverage by Ted Rumsfeld and Chad Arnold in healthcare. As I use the term fellows, because that's people kind of understand that. That's all they do is you are the political reporter. Chad is the healthcare reporter, and everything you're doing every day. And you guys, you know, I think there's two better people to launch. Not only the Community Journalism Fund, but also those arms, the two that will be in place. And that's not the end of it. There's always conversations about a third and fourth arm. And who knows? I mean, if we go to eight like an octopus or whatever. But obviously, you can give to the Community Journalism Fund. It is not for profit. It is managed for us by the Schenectady Foundation. So if you go to the Schenectady Foundation and you look at donation, you go over to the Community Journalism Fund. There's a drop down there. We are a 501. That is a 501c3. So it's managed by the Schenectady Foundation. Our talent comes through the Daily Gazette. So they've been working for a living for a long period of time. And now they're just taking their talents. And in a sense, it's a professional raise in the fact that their focus can now go to what our readers are looking for. So I can't thank you enough for taking it over because it's been a hot button within the building, and I'm glad to see that there's a second arm, and I think that's only going to help out the foundation and the fund itself. And the 518 Politics the gift that keeps on giving. Have you ever been surprised when you get one of those press releases or an email from one side or the other? Have you ever like rolled your eyes and go, really?
Yeah, every day, practically. I couldn't even give you an example. There's too many.
All right. Well, get back to work, and we'll see you around the 21st and the 100 and something and the whatever, and I'll see you in the office. And we'll have you on the podcast because you're going to have a lot to make sense out of for this guy.
Okay. Thanks for having me.